Hey, everybody. Welcome to Morphin Grid. I'm Jake.
And I'm Josh.
I don't know why I paused. Like, I didn't remember how to say a thing that I've said bare minimum 300 times. And today, we're watching episode 607 of Power Rangers, Power Rangers Operation Overdrive, episode 3, The Underwater World.
It aired March 5th, 2007. Teleplay by John Telligan and directed by Mark Beasley.
So he didn't... Wait. It doesn't say another name? For written?
Written by John Telligan.
Okay, so it doesn't say teleplay by John Telligan.
No, I said that because his name is Telligan and I thought it would be funny.
Because sometimes they'll do that. They'll be like, teleplay, story by this person, teleplay by, like, which means like this person thought it up and this person wrote it down.
Oh, no, I was just trying to do a joke.
All right, well.
Like a little limerick almost.
Yeah. Look, I bet a lot of people at
Teleplay
home loved
by Telligan. He should make a business. Teleplays by Telligan.
Yeah, I would argue that he did make a business doing that. Why do I feel like John Telligan is bad?
I don't know.
Dude, I have bad feelings about John Telligan episodes, and I don't know if that's necessarily warranted or not. I haven't been keeping too good a track. Just like how every time Jackie's name pops up, I'm like, hell yeah, Jackie's here. Even though statistically, she's written some stinkers. Anyway, if you're new here...
I thought your mic cut out.
Nope, my throat cut out. It just stopped.
Oh, boy.
Because this is what happens when Nintendo puts out too many farm games in a row. My throat doesn't work anymore. It's farm games and JRPGs based on nothing that no one's ever going to play.
I might. I could go for a good...
You're going to play Hexadecapath Traveler?
I could go for a good JRPG, I think. Octopath is on Game Pass, so...
Is it?
I might try that. I don't know. I just miss playing, like, Chrono Trigger for the first time, you know?
you can't really recapture that without, playing a new game like that. The problem with them is that I hate turn-based fighting the most. I hate it. I can't stand it.
Oh, I like it. I like that laid back kind of gameplay.
I want to feel active when I'm fighting and not like I selected a menu. Like, I don't want to feel like I'm doing a spreadsheet and that's how you fight people, which is funny though, because I do love the Fallout games where you can pause and figure out who you're going to shoot. I don't understand why I like that one and not the other one, but it's fine. Anyway, if you're new here, we good? Can I continue? Okay. If you're new here, what we do is we pause the recording, we go watch episode of Power Rangers, we come back, we talk about it. You can follow along if you have the DVDs. And according to a bunch of people on the Discord, by the time we finish Operation Overdrive, Operation Overdrive should be up. So they're almost done with SPD. I feel like someone said they do like 5 episodes a week on the YouTube. They upload like 5 a week on the YouTube. So, and they're getting close to the end of SPD. So... Then they just got to get through Mystic, or maybe they're getting done with Mystic Force. I don't remember what they said. This was several weeks ago.
they were almost done with SPD. I think is the last thing I remember seeing.
So then they just got to cruise through Mystic Force and get to Operation Overdrive. And Jungle Fury is already up.
If they're doing 5 episodes a week, and Mystic Force is 32 episodes, it's only 7 weeks. It's not even 2 months.
Yeah, that should be fine. So, we're also... ahead, so
we are over a month ahead, I think, by the time the first episode of Ooh airs. Power Rangers. Ooh.
that's Donkey Kong's favorite season of Power Rangers.
Well, are you ready, Jake, to stretch your 5 fingies to the sky five ways?
I can't wait to reach to walk through the sun for 5 days to watch an episode of Operation Overdrive.
You're gonna need that sun to do all the farming on your Nintendo Switch.
So all my crops can grow big and strong, and then I can get old with them and die. I think is the appeal of the...
That was one of the story of seasons ones, is you get older as the game goes on. Hey, everyone who wanted realism in your farming video games, you can watch your son grow up and move out, and then you can get fake empty nest syndrome before you die in the video game.
Yeah, you can work your hands to the bone so Monsanto can come and say that one of our corn fell over here, and because we genetically copywrote it, all of your corn is ours, and then you die penniless in your old farmhouse that Big Corn bought out from under you. Let's go watch Operation
I hope for your sake you outlive your spouse in that game. I don't know if you're... ready for that kind of artificial trauma.
I don't know.
Of having
to
watch your spouse die as your kid moves out of the house.
I don't think either way you're going to win that one. Like, if you die before your spouse, then you know you leave them for Monsanto to come eat up your land.
I wonder if it just caps off.
It's if like, they're okay, like, hey, you're old enough, you're good. You made
it. Yeah, you are 70 in-game years old now.
You can farm in peace for the rest of your life.
You're wrinkly and gray, but don't worry. You can still pick all the turnips and lettuce you need to.
Great back, great knees. Still.
Get the little fairies to come milk your cows or whatever.
That's Fae Farm, and I am predicting that
Harvest
Shannon Maynard
has that, too. It's like,
does it?
It's like a farm... sprites or
you get
something,
your farm
you
sprites
can,
oh man maybe
pay
I would have
gotten
a...
you pay them in snacks to come to chores.
Look, if I could pay fairy, I don't want to invite the fae into my home, but if I could pay them in snacks to come do some of my chores, I would figure it out. I would get some Cool Ranch Doritos for them and have them clean some stuff up.
Come harvest my carrots for 3 hours for two bags of Cool Ranch Doritos, please.
Look, but it's two family-sized bags. I actually have within arm's reach a little tiny bag of Cool Ranch Doritos because the other day I had a hankering, and then by the time I got home, I did not have that hankering anymore. So now I got an emergency Cool Ranch Dorit if I need it. Let's go watch Operation Overdrive.
All right. Overdrive Accelerate. Back. I come back, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I just jumped on it. So, okay. And we just watched the Nintendo Direct. No, we watched that before. But we did just watch The Underwater World. Not Water World.
No.
Which I have seen.
Kevin Costner doesn't pee in anything in this episode.
No. He's no gills behind his ears.
No gills that look a little bit like something else.
They're just like... that's little slits where his ear meets his
head, they're
right?
Look, they say they're gills, but they do, if like if you see it on TV, it looks like something else.
He's no Susie.
No, God.
Kevin Costner could never.
Hey, Paramount Plus, why haven't you put Space Cases up yet? Do you not want me to come hang out on Paramount Plus?
And they're like, well, we got Legends.
I know, but
so
I would like
to come watch Legends.
I think they also have Shelby Woo, which
did they put Shelby Woo up?
I feel like I saw it.
That sounds right. I think I may have seen it scrolling through.
I should go. I should go watch Mystery Files of Shelby Woo, which is maybe the most underrated Nickelodeon show of all time. They also need to put Caitlin's Way up there again, just for me mostly, but for me and Lindsay Fountain.
I would watch Space Cases. That's not just for you.
Oh,
I want them. I want Welcome Freshman, and that might only be for me.
Was that a Nickelodeon show?
Yeah. Nickelodeon was like, what if we made Saved by the
what
Bell?
What if we did Saved by the Bell, starring the cast of Hey Dude? It's not the same cast, but it feels
it's
like
not,
it.
But all of them could be,
they,
if you
look,
think
if,
about it.
If you see any random live-action show from the early to mid-90s on Nickelodeon, that could be the cast of Hey Dude. HeyJakeAndJosh.com. Sorry, there was a new Pikmin game announced, and I'm very excited. HeyJakeAndJosh.com. That's the website. You can go there. Listen to old episodes up through Ninja Storm. I'm still saying it. And Josh, you got 3 weeks to make it true. So I know it's it's a short window, but... There's also the archive feed, which you can find on our Twitter. You can email us at lilidius.morphingrid@gmail.com. We're on Twitter at morphinggrid. We're on Snapple Podcasts. We're on Google Play, Podknife, Podbay, Podbay B, Podlantis. There's literally no way I haven't done Podlantis, but look, you do this joke enough times, you're going to get doubles.
Godzilla's in there.
Godzilla's down there, and he's charging up.
He swam into the castle and sat on the throne to recharge in Atlantis.
God, that was so cool. And I was like, they're never going to top this. And they're like, well, we go to Hollow Earth and there is a King Kong throne there. And I was like, okay, you got me. You got me there. Bless you.
No, don't talk to me about Hollow Earth.
I love I love Hollow Earth. I love whatever they put because it's so stupid.
Hollow Earth is very stupid, but I will take that every single time over Flat Earth.
Oh, well, Flat Earth is just like patently ding dong. Like you are like you are a full on rube if you think Flat Earth is real. My favorite thing is anytime a Flat Earth video comes up on TikTok, it's them trying to prove that Flat Earth is real. And they'd be like, so if the Earth is round, this thing should happen. And then that thing happens, like, well, maybe we messed up. And it's like, no, maybe the Earth is round.
Yeah, no, I think you just disproved yourself.
I think the experiment was a success, but not for you. You can leave us a rating and review in any of those places. Also, we're on Patreon, patreon.com/HeyJakeandJosh. For as little as a dollar a month, you can support the show. We really appreciate it. And either next episode or the one after that, we're going to read all of our patrons. So get ready, everybody.
Buckle up.
It's everyone's favorite time of year. And so this is
into overdrive.
Buckle up to overdrive. we should jump in. Because the only emails we have are like, hey, this is a scam. Would you like to participate in it?
Let's read them on the air. No, I'm kidding.
One of them is just shipment tracking. Hey, little idiots. We're trying to give you a package. And I'm like, to this email? I don't think so. And then like we could win $50,000. And then there's a couple from people who have podcast services like Podmatch. Which hashtag non-spawn, because I think it's a bad idea.
I saw it when I was trying to hack my way back into our account.
Yeah, we had to hack the planet.
I got there and I clicked on the Gmail just to make sure I was like actually in and it wasn't going to be like, you're logged in, but you also have to log in to do anything.
Right. You're not double logged in like you need to be.
And I saw a bunch that were like, basically like, grow your audience.
Yeah, I think, like, you can't.
Don't you want to advertise your podcast?
Yeah, I mean, advertising technically does work, right? Because like you'd be like, hey, here's a thing you didn't know about. Now you know about it. You are now 100% more likely to check it out than you were when you didn't know about it. But you cannot pay anybody to give you more listeners. People have to choose to do that.
Yeah,
that is my biggest advice to you if you're a podcaster. Is there's nothing you can do to make your podcast bigger. Except your best, you know. The Podmatch service finds guests for people, and I get overwhelmed enough.
Oh, I don't have $5,000 to pay guests on my podcast.
I saw a thing where people are paying money to get onto podcasts, and that I would like a slice of.
Yeah,
but
no, if anyone wants to be on the podcast, we could work out an invoice.
Look, if you someone's like, yeah, they pay up to $50,000, I was like, first of all, where? And also, you know, this is a podcast, right? Like, I don't care how big the podcast is. It's just a podcast. But I get overwhelmed enough. Regular people we kind of know or do know asking to be on the show. So, like,
do you want any randos coming on?
I don't want a rando. I hate it. I could not. No. No amount of money is worth us having a bad episode because of some random person.
Well, I mean, we would just delete it and re-record it.
That's the thing. I assume there is some sort of this has to air if I give you money thing. Like,
well, we would not on our contract.
We didn't sign anything. So
the Santa Claus at the bottom says, if you suck, we just take it out.
Do you see this new Santa Claus show?
The Santa Clauses.
Yeah. Do you see Bernard's back?
Yeah.
Do you see how old Bernard is now?
He's old man. Well, this has to be thousands of years in the future when Tim Allen Santa Claus is finally choosing to retire, right?
Oh, God, I hope so.
Charlie's dead. He's been dead for hundreds of years.
For 400 years.
Because he just couldn't build up the courage to push his dad off the roof.
He just couldn't do what it took to get in the family business. He would never cut it in this market anyway.
No, I've only seen the title and a picture of Tim Allen Santa Claus makeup. I have not seen anything else about the show.
There is a picture released of Bernard, and he's obviously the slow march of time catches up to us all, but it, you know, so he is older now than he used to be, because right. That's how time works.
But he's an elf.
I'm just happy to see that.
He was already an old elf.
He was an old elf, and now he's like turbo old elf. I'm just excited for him to be back because he's my favorite character in the first movie. I also
like Neil. No, I'm kidding. That's a joke.
You like
Nobody
Neil?
Likes Neil. Nobody's on Team Neil.
It was a little weenie whistle. I can't wait for the show to start with Tim Allen being like, man, all these woke kids and their phones nowadays, all they want is their SJW phones. Because Tim Allen's a shithead in real life.
I don't give toys to kids in blue states.
Yeah, we don't go. We're not going. We're not. Oh, you almost had us, Georgia. I would have delivered to you. But
it makes my one night of work really easy. But nobody wants to work anymore.
Nobody
these kids
wants to
work
one night
anymore.
Of work anymore. You only work one night in a year. I'm still going to watch it, but I don't. I hate Tim Allen as a person.
it sucks that I am not particularly fond of that man. But I am going to continue to watch the Santa Claus every Christmas.
Yeah, I can't. At this point, look, I'm sorry. I can't stop. It's not Christmas until I watch the Santa Claus. Anyway, you want to jump in?
Yeah.
We start off with the five Rangers at an office park. They're going to, a Barnes & Noble to get a book that Andrew needed. Will's like, I could have done this myself. This will be the running theme of the episode. Get ready. Rose is like, this is like a field trip. Like, we're all just going on a cool field trip together in our uniforms instead of wearing regular clothes.
Yeah, it's immediately way less interesting.
Yeah, it
just like... Just pay a costume designer.
Right.
Like,
just
pay
like,
a wardrobe person.
Just get someone to like have five outfits that they can cycle through.
Just, they're
you
just
know?
In their bad X-Men leathers for this whole episode, and I hate it.
It's so boring. They look boring.
And they look stupid out in regular public with their dumb X-Men costumes
like,
on.
You should, if they're not on a mission, by which I mean. At a temple or a cave or something. If they're doing any sort of recon work in person, I want to see them in their regular clothes.
Yeah.
But we don't get that this episode. They're out in their X-Men leathers. Anyway, so...
Can't wait for an episode later where, like, Dax has a date and he has to wear his stupid leathers.
He goes in his full Operation Overdrive uniform. So Will's like... I could have done this myself. Just didn't need to be everybody. And then Dax does like a handstand. Everyone's like, "Ooh, handstand!" And then when he lands, Will hears a guy falling like a mile away. Like he was on like a paint scaffold and like fell off, and he's hanging by it. And Will's like, "Hold on!" And they're like, "What?" And he's like, "There's a guy!" And he jumps and he morphs and he catches the guy and he lands and he unmorphs. And he's like, "There you go, man. You're saved." And he's like, "Thanks." And then. Everyone runs up to him as, like, the guy walks away. Everyone runs up. They're like, Will, why'd you just go save that guy by yourself? And the answer is because he's the only one who saw him falling a mile away.
He was actively falling down.
He was holding on by one hand.
He did jump morph in midair in front of everybody outside.
Yeah, this is
so
a...
Secret Identities are not in this season, which
not
is
important.
Fine. That doesn't really bother me.
Yeah.
Catches the painter, and then as they're coming down, unmorphs and lands as Will.
Yeah. It's a little weird, but also, that guy was so far away that, like, what do we want to do, team?
Like, yeah,
that guy would die.
What like, was the teamwork version of saving this man?
They all get a big...
Any one of them could have just jumped and got him. Actually, Dax might have been better suited for that.
Yeah, he wouldn't even need to morph. So I think what they wanted to do is, like, whenever someone's falling, you tell us so we can get a big blanket and hold it under them for when they fall. And they can crash through it and hit the ground and then die, but we'll at least we tried.
Afterwards, we'll lift it up in the air. We'll all sit on the bottom. It'll be like a big tent.
Yeah.
Remember doing that in gym class?
I can't fathom doing that in the year of our Lord 2022. That's just like, hey, everybody, let's put your germs in a bubble. And everyone just sit in it for a while.
And you get in there. Then what did you do? Do you remember what happened after
no,
that?
No, you just were in there and you were excited because you're six. Like, there's no sport to be done in there. There's no activity you can play in there.
It's a social experiment.
Yeah, it's the circle.
And then one kid farts and forget it.
That's the experiment. That guy was a plant. He's working for the producers. So we cut to the Arctic or wherever where Snow Miser lives, and he's yelling at Nort, who is Abominable Snowman.
I don't know, because he's going to like walk outside later and just be on a beach.
I think he lives in an igloo.
On the beach.
On the beach. I don't think they know where he lives. So he's yelling at Nort about stuff, and Nort's got an ice cream cone, and he spills it on his face, and like...
But it was just, like, shaving
cream. It was shaving cream, but it's ice cream.
And the cone is literally just, like, a rolled piece of brown construction paper.
Look, they spent all the money making Nort. They didn't have any left over for ice cream cone. So we cut back to the Batcave. Andrew already has the book that they went to get. It's a big, thick book, and he already has it. And Will's like, you already have one. And he's like, yeah, I thought I lost it. And they're like, okay. And then he's like, anyway, I found Atlantis. So that's cool, right?
He's being coy about it. He's like, I found an underwater civilization, the ruins of an underwater civilization. And I think Rose is like, oh, it's Atlantis. And he's like, well, I don't know. Let's not go crazy.
Oh, no. Maybe it's Lemuria. He is like, yeah, here it is. It's under there. And I bet there's something in it that we could get.
And they will now, for the rest of the episode, keep bringing up Neptune and how he's like the god of the ocean. And
yeah.
Rules the waters. And I thought they were going to have to fight Neptune in any way.
That would have been cool. I mean,
and that only kind of happens.
Maybe they do. Yeah, it's a little nebulous. We'll talk about it at the end. But so Will is like, cool, I'll go. And Ronnie's like, absolutely not. You're not going. I want to go too. So bare minimum, I'm also going. And Andrew's like, Andrew says, we're all going. But what he means is, you're all going.
You all are going. But y'all are going.
He's like, we're all going. I'm just going to be here when I go.
Because I have to I do the book stuff.
Yeah, I have to make sure that the radar pings, and I got to do that manually. I got to hit it by hand. Because
there's not one in the submarine.
Yeah, I have to send you a radar bing bong.
Ding dong, hello.
They leave, and he's like, oh, also, there's like a flight plan. Stick to the flight plan. This is a very boring kind of way to Power Range, but he's
so they're like flying, and Ronnie is driving, but Will is co-piloting.
Yeah.
And he's like, let's open this baby up. And Ronnie's like, no, we have to stick to the plan. We got to stay on the flight path to where we're going.
And that's mostly so it doesn't alert Heat Miser or Snow Miser.
Yeah.
Even though they live in caves and there's a thing that happens later that makes me mad. It's so stupid, it makes me mad. We'll get there very shortly.
And Will is like, I work alone inside this pit of danger.
Yeah. No one else. I walk for miles in this pit of, it's a big pit of danger, and I'm the only one here.
No one bothers me, and I work alone. So he shifts into overdrive, baby.
Before, when they like run out to like go, the guy that Will saved like sneaks in.
Oh yeah, and he's just awkwardly standing there.
He's just standing there, and Andrew's like, "How'd it go?" And then he rips his face off like a Mission Impossible, and it's Spencer with a bad wig now. He still has the wig on, which is funny. And he's like, "I'm fine, thanks." He's like,
well, they saved me. I'm not splatted all over the sidewalk, but they didn't work as a team to do it.
And like, what would you have done? What could you possibly have done as a team that would be more effective than the person who saw him acting immediately and saving him? This is the one part of the episode where I'm like, Will's okay on this front. The rest of it's stupid.
Will is very annoying for the rest of this episode, but he's not wrong to save a person who's about to die.
It's Power Rangers does it all the time where they will be like, here's the lesson of the episode.
It wouldn't be a problem.
Yeah.
If the Red Ranger just jumped over there and caught somebody, it'd be fine.
But like Power Rangers does it all the time where they're like, here's the lesson. But the first instance of the lesson is the person who needs to learn the lesson being correct about something. Yeah. And everyone's saying they're wrong about it. But like, they're not. And later they will be wrong. But that doesn't make the part that they were right about wrong now, if that makes any sense. Anyway, we cut to them. Will's like, let's open this baby up. And this is right after he's like, I'm not used to people telling me no. And she's like, well, get used to it. No, don't open up. Don't hit the NOS.
That is a different
lesson. Gross.
It happens again, too. Rose has to tell him no multiple times. So I'm like, where did the girls have to keep telling him no when he's not listening?
I feel like there's some commentary here that Power Rangers did not intend for, but it is helpful. I think it's something that people should learn. No means no, buddy. So he opens up the throttle and tears off, and they bounce over Snow Miser's castle, like his little igloo place.
Yeah, because Nort is like, I didn't find any super cool stones.
I didn't find any cool gems.
But I'll just go get the Power Rangers, and they'll help us find them.
And Snow Miser's like, how are you going to do that? And then they bounce.
He's not like, they are not going to help us, you idiot. He says, how will you ever find them?
Right.
Hey, dog, your brother knows where their house is. He was there last episode.
Yeah.
He just walked in and was like, give me the crown, loser.
He knows his address.
He knows where his office is inside the house.
Nort has a piece of coal. He's like, I didn't find any gems. Didn't find this piece of coal. I'm going to sit on it hard and it will turn into a diamond. Is that good? And he's like, no, I'm going to kill you. But then the Rangers fly by, which stops him from killing Nort.
Yeah, at some point, Flurious is like, they're not just going to knock on the door, and then they slam into the side of the mountain.
They bounce off the side, yeah. And he's like, you're as lucky as you are dumb or something. And then he makes a snowstorm to slow them down, and they crash on a beach somewhere. But first, he sees them on his weird little LCD screen made out of ice. And he's like, I've got you now. And then it's interrupted by a call from Heat Miser, who's like, hey, did you find the Power Rangers? And he's like, no, I haven't seen them at all. But again, Heat Miser knows where they go to sleep. They are constantly going back to this one place that you know about.
And you've already been inside of.
And there was never Andrew being like, I put up a force field, so now Magma Man can't get in here.
I cloaked the house, but it's still in the same place.
Unless
it was force field and they couldn't get in, they just wait outside.
Just wait outside in the driveway. You gotta go get groceries sometime.
Next time Spencer comes out to buy sandwich meat, I'm gonna sneak in there.
I'm gonna get him. We cut to the Rangers, who are on a beach or the desert or something, and Dax is all wobbly because they crash landed. And Will calls for the Zords, and they're like, Dax is like, hey, Will, next time you want to, do something, like crash the plane that we're all in, maybe warn us that you're going to do that. And then we just kind of cut to them in the Zords, specifically Ronnie and Will in the submarine with Rose.
Yeah, Will, they're all trapped on the beach, and Will, pulls up his communicator and is like, Spencer, send the Zords. And then I think that's when Dax is like, hey, tell us next time you're going to crash the plane.
Yeah.
And then we just cut to the Zord sequence.
They're just in the Zords underwater. Okay. And Will's like, here, let me drive. And Rose's like, nobody drives my sub but me. Don't be handsy.
Yeah. Don't touch me or my sub ever again. Yeah.
And he's like, oh, fine. And then there's some back and forth. And they get to the ruins that they found. And she has, the submarine has big, big meaty claws.
Yeah, it's got a big head and little arms.
And it lifts up the rock, and then she's like, all right, you guys go in. And then it just, Will and Ronnie just have these, Crash Bandicoot, propeller things that they hold on to that, you know, the ones when you're underwater and you grab the little thing that, zooms you along. So they get inside. And Rose calls Mac. She's like, hey, I'm worried about Will.
It's a little touchy, and I don't really appreciate it.
Yeah, he's being a little gross. And also, he keeps trying to be a Kamen Rider, and we're a Power Ranger. And it's not going to work. And Mac's like, he'll be fine. He'll figure it out. And in the Power Ranger sense, I like this. But, as a, hey, this woman told you this guy is being weird, and you're like, it's fine. not the best. So then they get inside. They're in the Legends of the Hidden Temple, Will and Ronnie are. And Do they bump through a wall immediately? I feel like they accidentally fall through a wall. They turn on their, like, turbo-ass headlamps.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember. They come in and they turn on their Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, the movie, headlights.
Yeah.
And they're, like, looking around. I don't really remember exactly. I know they come through a wall.
I think they just, like, fall through a wall.
No, it is at this point, because they come through and then, like, it's like a big lava room.
There's
right?
That's in a minute. There's like a pedestal, and Ronnie immediately is like, "I'm gonna just touch this thing," and it starts spewing fire out of like every side.
Oh yeah, doesn't she scan it? It's like not a gemstone.
Yeah, and she's like, "Well, let me just touch it anyway," and she does, and then fire out of everywhere. They both dive on the floor. Will shoots it, and Ronnie's like, "Hell yeah!" So she's not like very responsible. She's just more responsible than Will, which I appreciate the level of it. When he blows up this pedestal, there is a slide puzzle. Yeah, here's the one space that's missing. You got to make the thing. She's like, "Let me call Rose. She can figure this out." And he's like, "I did this all by myself for a long time. I could figure out a puzzle."
It's three moves.
It's like, and then it's done. You just got to put the blank space in the middle, and it seems like it was pretty close to being there already.
I think this is what she scanned, actually, now that I'm thinking about it.
Yeah, because then they
reveal the stone slide puzzle from the ruins of Alf, and she's like, "Let me scan this to see if it's a precious stone."
And he's like, "It's done." And she's like, "Oh, you didn't even give me a chance." But then, like, the floor, like, opens up, and, oh, no, they get grabbed. There's just, like, two giant stone hands grab them.
And Ronnie's like, "You shouldn't have solved the puzzle. Yeah, you set a trap."
And then it, like, rises out of the ocean. The whole thing just, like, comes up. Rose is like, "Get me out of here." And she, like, gets grappled by Dax and just, like, he, like, airlifts the submarine out of the water. And then I think there's, like, a driveway. And so Mac drives. Oh, is his name Mac because he has a truck?
Oh, maybe.
Like Mac truck.
Big dump truck.
Mac dump truck, do you think?
Mac the dump truck.
Speaking of his big dumper, he tears in his place, flips it around, and hits the hands with the ass of the dump truck, and then scoops
up... The
dump truck's dumper, and... He scoops up Will and Ronnie in the dump truck and then drives away.
They're covered in, like, dirt and rubble.
He gets to the beach and pours them out, and they're just, like, in a pile of dirt. And Ronnie's like, "I lived in some crappy apartments, but this is ridiculous."
They're, like, in this mound of dirt on the ground, and Will comes out, and Ronnie's foot is stuck, and she, like, rips her foot out and then tumbles backwards down the dirt. It's very funny.
Yeah.
The Yellow Ranger has, like, a lot of personality when she's morphed.
Yeah, I really like the sort of physicality of it.
Yeah, when they were all in the cockpit, she kept, like, sticking her head in front of everybody in the camera. She, like, poked her head right in front of Rose. It was like, "Ooh, is that the temple?" And she was like, "Back up so I can see, please."
I don't know. Your big old head's in my way. Mac's like, "Hey, what happened in there?" And Will's like, "Sometimes when things go wrong, you got to improvise." And he's like, "I don't think you heard me. I don't need you to explain yourself. I just need you to tell me what happened."
I solved the puzzle and a trap activated.
Yeah, like it could, and it, like, it's fine.
I work alone. That's what happened.
I'm the only Power Ranger here, even though I don't think I'm particularly suited to cave diving and or tomb raiding. The thing is, like, raised up, right? And it's, like, a half of a statue sticking out of this big driveway. And then Rose is like, "Well, it's probably booby-trapped, so we should be pretty careful." And Will and Ronnie are like, "Let's go!" And they just start running.
Yeah.
They, like, run ahead of the other Rangers. Because Will's like, "I'm going." And Ronnie's like, "Not without me." And so they run there. And the others are like, What are we just talking about?
He's like, "I work alone." She's like, "You work alone with me."
You work together alone. So they get in there first, and they just, like, keep outrunning the Rangers, basically, until
they get into this room, and it looks like it's half caved in
already.
It's
like a caved in little hallway with a little slit in the wall, and Will sticks his sword in there, his, like, sidearm sword.
Will's in there. He's like, "This must be where the secrets are."
Gotta be. Why else would there be a little hole in the wall of this caved in hallway?
So he picks the lock with his sword.
It opens up and Ryan's like, oh, a secret door. And the way she says it is like, this is the most amazing thing ever. And it's like, you were in a very recently underwater temple.
You were in Atlantis. You're just in Atlantis, like a minute ago.
But the door is the cool part? So they get in and they get to this big empty room with the little bridge.
They come out at the opening and the camera's like tight in where Will pokes his head out and he's like, whoa. And Ronnie bumps into him. He's like, get the hell out of the way. And just shoves him out of this opening, not knowing what he stopped to look at.
What he stopped to look at is like a little drop onto a platform and then a bridge over lava, or I guess magma. Yeah. And then she's like, this is where echoes were invented.
That's what I had to rewind it because I was like, what the hell is he talking about? Because I thought he said, this is where Eccles must have been invented.
Yeah.
And I was like, what the hell is Eccles?
Jensen Eccles. He was born here.
In a magma pit?
Yeah. Yeah. You didn't know Supernatural's main character, Jensen Eccles, was born in a magma pit? I feel like everyone knows that.
I didn't.
Oh, you watched like 9 seasons. How'd you not know that he was born in a magma pit?
I don't know if I made it to 9.
I feel like, did you watch, you saw the Leviathan season, right?
I did see Leviathan.
That's where I tapped out, was after Leviathan season. And then they kept doing that for twice the amount of time.
Yeah, once it was like Archangels and that was all the way out.
I can't believe they did, like, Leviathan season is less than halfway through the series.
Yeah.
That's unfathomable to me.
And the rest of it, I think, was just hell. It was just heaven and hell.
The rest of it was just heaven and hell. And then, like, God was there, and then God's sister was there. You remember God's sister from the Bible.
The darkness.
Yeah, where it was like, God said, let there be light. And then God's sister was like, Mom said it was my turn with the Xbox. and he was like, I'm going to make sure no one ever hears about you in the Bible now. Anyway, they're on the lava thing. There's a bridge. They start running ahead. And he, like, pushes her out of the way so he can run ahead. And takes, like, 3 steps in and, like, a part of the bridge collapses out from under him. She grabs him to stop him from, you know, falling into lava and dying. And the other rangers run in. And they're like, you got him? Cool. We're going to go ahead. And they just run down the bridge. And 2 steps later, the whole bridge starts collapsing. I didn't think that Will... that, like, Ronnie had gotten Will out of the little collapse part yet, but
no,
she did.
Yeah. It's so weird because his foot just caves through, not like, just part of the side fell off and his foot
just breaks.
Fell through. And every other ranger is like, well, hope you guys don't die. We gotta go. But and Ronnie is like, don't worry, I got him, I guess.
Thanks. Good teamwork, guys.
But yeah, they're still stuck. The bridge is starting to collapse. Will is not rescued from his predicament yet. And, like, they keep running, and it keeps falling, and then at some point, Ronnie just, like, throws Will across the gap, which had to have been, like, way too far for that to be realistic.
Like, 10 feet at this point, yeah. Because it, like, it starts collapsing after Will behind the other rangers. And they just, like, make the gap, and then there's this there's this wide shot of the, like, them clearly, like, doing a running jig in place.
Yeah, on a green screen. It crumbles literally, like, right beneath their feet.
Under their feet.
Like, they are jumping off of pieces of rock that are falling underneath
them. Like, who do they think they are? Sonic the Hedgehog? Come on.
They're too slow.
So they get to the end of it, and they find this thing. They'll call it a cocoon later. It looks like a cyber ice heart. But it's a cocoon.
I literally was like, this is the heart of Neptune.
Yeah. But they're like, what is this? And they scan it. And Josh, this is wild. It's got a rating of 86.
Yeah. Do you know what the rating is? Did you see what it is?
No.
It's so on the screen, it has the 86, but above it, it says what it is rating.
What is it? Because, like,
this cocoon, Jake.
It just is 86 amount of cool.
It is 86 precious. Because it just says precious, and then there's the number.
The precious, so it's got a precious rating of 86.
Yeah.
This is the first we're hearing of it. I have nothing to compare this to.
Oh, the sliding stone tablet was a 0.
That's not that's garbage.
There's no precious.
An ancient magic puzzle.
Not precious.
Garbage.
At all.
Throw it in the trash.
See, it's because it's not shiny, you see.
Worthless. This thing is a cocoon around something. I feel like this would be maybe 9 precious if I were rating it.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like a gemstone, which I think is where you start to get into the upper 50s.
The preciosity of of something. I feel like it's the shinier it is.
Yeah.
This is webs, I think. <It's... laughs> maybe bone or mucus, I don't know.
If it was the heart of Poseidon, an 86 makes more sense.
That's an 86 if I've ever seen one.
I'm sorry, Neptune.
Yeah, excuse Poseidon, me. We don't talk about him here, Josh. We're good Roman boys.
Good Roman Christian boys.
Christian Roman boys. So this is, there's like a timeline that you have to worry about. Because before a certain point, the Romans weren't good Christian boys. You can read about all that in a little book I like to call the Bible.
That's a cute name you have for it.
Thank you. So they touch the heart of Poseidon, and it like splits into like 50 and just floats above the cavern. And Will's like, oh, hold on. I think I can figure this out alone. And then Max's like, this is like my book. This is like the Baron's Betrayal.
It's a chain reaction. And he just shoves one into the other one.
Slaps one. It hits the other. They all ping pong around until they all blow up except for one. And then Will's like, I was going to figure it out. And Max's like, well, you know, you're not the only one on the team. He's like, well, maybe I should be. And he like turns around, like throws his arms in anger or whatever, and just knocks Ronnie into the lava. And this would be bad if he didn't immediately jump in after her and grab her and zip line up, and they swing and she grabs the cocoon of Poseidon, or the cocoon of Neptune, the Neptune. Nope.
The Neptune. The Neptune cocoon.
The Neptune cocoon. Cuckoo ca-choo. And they like land on the other side. And I forget what he says. He said something. He's mad that he didn't get it and that Ronnie, he like takes it back from Ronnie. Mac like ziplines over there after telling the others to like find a different way out.
Find another way. You all have ziplines.
He's like,
right?
Yeah, but also like,
we've just seen it can support at least 2.
Yeah. And also like, I thought Ronnie was on the other side with Will.
She is, because he literally, like, sets her down and then takes the thing out of her hands.
So he must, like, walk into another room then, because Max, like, you three find, and it's Ronnie, Dax,
yeah,
and
I think
Rose.
What happens is he rips it out of her hands. He's like, I'm going to open this thing myself. And he, like, woo-hoo-hoo-hoo, runs away. And then Ronnie's just like, I don't know, man.
He seems like he's going through it right now for some reason. Max, like, find another way out. They're like, good enough instruction for us. We can do that. They leave. We cut to Will slamming the cocoon into a big boulder, trying to open it, and we will see how easy this sumbitch is to open later, and you did not need to go. This is a gentle hand will rule the land situation.
It's like a finger trap. The harder you try, the less open
it
gets.
The more stuck you get, yeah. So he's like, why don't they get it that I work alone better, or whatever. And then Mac comes in. And he's like, you can't save the universe by yourself. And then Will's like, watch me. And he's like, okay, well, that's not how it's going to work. Will, in his anger to show Mac that he can save the world by himself, I guess, like celebration touchdown spikes the cocoon onto the rock and it bounces off into the lava, like towards the lava. And then Will like jumps and grabs it and then grabs the ledge and he's hanging off the ledge. Mac grabs him by the hand, is like, give me the cocoon so I can help you up. And like some sort of Aladdin villain, Will's like, no, it's my cocoon. And then a second later, he's like, all right, here it is. And then Mac helps up. He's like, hey, was that so hard, man?
He's holding him over a pit of lava and is just like, hey, I'm going to help you get up. And Will says, no.
No.
And I would have been like, okay, dropped him in the lava.
Do you still have,
I don't have
your,
time for this.
Do you still got your zip line handy? Because if not, it's going to get pretty toasty. So he pulls him up.
I want to back up because something weird happened, and I don't remember when it was, and I'm pretty sure it was when he was dump trucking in to save Ronnie and Will. Because Mac is driving his big dump truck.
Yeah.
And he yells to them, "Hang on, Rangers, I'm coming."
Yeah. So he thinks that secret identities are important still.
It's weird that he called them Rangers and not like, "Hang on, guys," right?
Yeah.
I know that they're not all like friends. They barely know each other at this point.
Right.
But like, I don't know. It struck me as odd when he said that.
I don't think this is like the reason that they had in mind, but the no prize answer is that Mac is the most excited about being a Power Ranger of all of them. Some maybe like Dax, who was pretty stoked about it in the first episode. But like Mac's the one who like wanted to be on a team and do adventure. And so like he's like using the jargon because it's cool to him, you know? But other than that, like, yeah, it's weird that he would not just say like, "Hold on, I'm coming."
Yeah,
you know,
like if Jason was like, "Let's bring them together, Rangers," it just wouldn't hit right.
It'd be like, you know them. You go to their birthday parties. Like, come on.
You were mean to Zach for an entire day because it was his birthday, and you refused to acknowledge that.
Yeah, and then don't call him Rangers.
A surprise party.
What a
surprise,
terrible.
Black Ranger! It's your birthday.
Cool.
Who are you? Goldar?
I almost got covered in. I almost got eaten by a spider today. Because of how sad I was about you being mean about my birthday. So anyway, back at this point, he gets Will. Mac pulls Will over the back onto like the little landing area. I forget what he says. It's something like, "We're a team, and at some point I'm gonna need to lean on you, just like you gotta lean on us sometimes, and like we need all of us to do this."
Yeah. It's like, "I helped you now, and like sooner rather than later, probably, I'm going to need you to help me because we all have different skill sets and we all are going to have to work as a team to solve different problems because we all can't do everything."
And I love that. And this is very Carter. This feels very Carter.
It does, yeah.
Coming from Mac. And I like that. And he's like, "We're only as strong as our weakest link, you know?" So
which
no one,
is you right now.
Which right now is you selfish jerk.
So suck it up.
And then he like leaves. He like walks out. We cut outside. To Ronnie, Dax, and Rose, who get out the back door of the hidden temple. This is through the forest. If you go through one of the trees, it gets you outside. If there's no temple guard in there, obviously.
Right. Well, the fastest way out of the temple is just get grabbed by a temple guard.
Yeah. I mean, and look, if that's what you're, if you just want to get out quick, that's one way to do it. But you will not get the Applewood amulet of Emiliano Zapata. So. No.
Especially if you have to solve that damn silver monkey.
The goddamn silver monkey. It's three parts. How could anyone figure this out? Apparently, the silver monkey is, like, trickier than it looks, because, like...
Well, I get, like, not getting it right in one. Like, I understand that. But, like...
If you put the head first, you're a ding-dong.
If you are in that room for 30 seconds, you don't deserve to go to a space camp.
You should get tuna and a pat on the back and told to go on your way. So they get outside and there's Snow Miser and some chilies, and there's like a big explosion and they fight. And after like a minute, Mac jumps in to make the save, and we get this like close up X-ray of his gun, and then he shoots a bunch of the chilies, and I don't know what I was supposed to be looking at.
Yeah,
inside the
gun. I guess it's just the inner mechanation of how the gun fires a laser.
Yeah.
It was funny because Dax punched one and was like, "Whoa, that's too cold to hold." And then so their aim for the Z moment, I guess, was shoot him with a gun.
Use your gun. Another very Carter moment. A lot of Carter DNA.
Shoot first, ask questions later.
Ask questions to their corpses later. So then they fight for a minute. Eventually Will shows up as like Ronnie like boots one of them, and he like smashes it with his hammer, and she's like, "Great teamwork," and then immediately he like splits off to fight some chilies by himself. Then after they beat all the chilies, Flurious is like, "I'm gonna turn this temple into a monster that you have to fight," and I was like, "Hell yeah, this is what I'm here for. This is what I like to see." And maybe this is Neptune?
Maybe. I don't know. I think it's just the temple.
I don't know. Yeah, it's just
come to life through cold magic. I think
it kicks ass.
It's pretty cool.
So they get in their Zords, and for like 1 second, I was like, oh, are we going to get an individual fight? Nope.
No.
No, we just get to see the dumps like a truck for a second. And then they get in their Megazord, and then they're fighting it. They have a pickaxe and a shovel. I don't know if we saw that last time where they jumped right to sword, because pickaxe plus shovel equals sword. Everyone knows that. That's how alchemy works.
We saw the shovel last time because they were digging a hole, and we couldn't figure out why.
They did diggy hole, yeah.
This time they dig a hole and they just like rip the land up from underneath the temple and it falls over.
They just flip it like they're...
like they pull the rug out from under it.
The temple is still standing.
Fight him like the Three Stooges. No temple has ever seen that show. They don't know how to counter it.
That would be really funny if they just got a real slapstick with it. They also had a pickaxe at some point that they just used to like hit him.
the pickaxe just makes the shovel a sword. I don't think it really does anything.
They did use it, but I don't think it accomplished anything. But then they like put them together and shovel plus pickaxe equals sword, and then they rev up and then they kill the temple, an ancient temple, archaeological find of the ages. Oh, it's destroyed. Never mind. Okay.
Yep, gone.
Doesn't matter.
And they took the artifact out of it.
And then destroyed it so no one else could look in there.
Stole it from ancient Atlantis. So if anyone else ever finds Atlantis, it's empty now.
It's going to be empty. Boring and empty.
And they blew up the temple that it was in. The ancient ruins, full probably of so much history and knowledge.
Just a find that would define generations.
Yeah.
And they blew it up with a big shovel.
And they just, with a shovel sword, just smashed it to bits.
And then we just cut back to the Bat Cave, where they get back, and Rose is like, we found Atlantis. And Andrew's like, we're not going to tell anyone to keep it safe. I have a new theory. Andrew is also a bad guy.
I think we said that already.
I think I said last time Spencer might be a bad guy, and I don't want that to be true.
No, I don't think that. I think he's too nice to be a bad guy.
But that's how they get you, Josh.
Not Power Rangers.
Maybe
that's not
time.
How John Telligan writes Power Rangers.
Find out one thing about John Telligan. He's an honest man. But I think maybe Andrew is more of a Lex Luthor type than an Indiana Jones type. If he's like, we're going to keep the Discovery hidden. We're not going to share it with anybody for its protection, you see.
Yeah.
To keep
and
it safe.
Rose is like, we also got this cool cocoon down there. And Andrew's like, destroy it. Rip it apart for me.
Rip that shit open. Crack open a cold cocoon with the boys,
and
Rose.
I know it's only episode 3, but I thought they were going to open it and one of the same 5 stones was going to be in there.
I also thought that, but then I was like, as she was doing it, I was like, there's no way this early, right? But they open it, and nope, it's a map. They're pulling the old Fireheart trick.
Yeah, it's just a scroll.
I do want to reiterate how easy it is to open this cocoon.
Yeah, she twists it. It pulls it apart. It's like
it's
super
not even
easy.
And we get a close up of it. She's got small hands too. It's not hard.
It might be because there's weird, like, not holes, but I guess like ridges on it.
Right.
So maybe you have to like put your hand on it in a certain way to be able to like deactivate it and open it. But she just twists and pulls. It just comes right off.
It's like maybe it's like a puzzle box, or it's like you gotta hit, twist it in the right spot, because you can smash it against the rock all you want, it's not gonna work. And they open it and it's a scroll, and they're like, and Andrew's like, the next piece of the puzzle, and I'm like, is the puzzle where are the stones? Because that seems more of a quest than a puzzle, and that's semantics, I understand, but
I think next piece of the puzzle is like a turn of phrase, right?
Maybe.
Because now they have the map quest directions.
Now they got to print it out. So
actually, we don't
know
because they don't open it. The episode ends before they get to take the ribbon off the scroll.
Yeah, and then so next time is going to open up with Andrew looking at the scroll and being like, "Ah, now we have to go defile an Inca tomb."
It's going to open and it's going to start with him going like, "Ah, yes." Again, the next piece of the puzzle we have found.
Yeah. Anyway, that is the end of the episode.
It'll just be this last scene reshot to open the next episode.
Just from a different angle, yeah. They love doing that. So that's the end of the episode, Josh. I started.
Mm-hmm.
What's the best?
I
I have a best.
All right, tell me yours.
It's them having to fight the temple. Turning the temple into the monster is radical. Even if it
makes me wonder, because like this is what happened last time too. Is he just was like, I summoned a giant monster for you to deal with.
Now. Yeah.
So it makes me wonder what the monster
theme?
Protocol is.
Yeah.
Like, do we get little monsters that turn big?
I don't.
Or
know.
Is it just
yeah,
like
we haven't seen?
Or is
that
it just
at all.
They go on a quest? It alerts one of the brothers who go fight them with their mooks, and then they have to fight a giant at the end.
I would actually be really into that if that is sort of how the deal works.
If the like ground level monster is Heat Miser or Snow Miser,
yeah,
I think that's actually really cool.
Yeah, especially because like we've seen a lot of evidence in the last couple seasons that like having the monster not do things and just be a monster kind of sucks now, kind of boring.
Yeah. Well, no monsters have any character anymore.
Yeah, but if the monster is you gotta be in a temple and, you know, outrun a yeah. boulder and hit these, you gotta stand on a chair and hit these six buttons at the same time so you can get to the next room, into the heart room.
Which is just a room. You can just go through that one.
Yeah, it's pretty empty. But, like, if you want to open up the roof hatch, you got to hit some buttons.
Yeah.
And, like, slam your butt into the chair really hard. that would be pretty cool. But anyway, that is my best. My best is they got to fight the temple.
Yeah, I do like that. I also kind of like, other than the, like, Ronnie tells Will no and he does it anyway.
Right.
of it all. The way Ronnie and Will play off of each other through all of the temple stuff is actually really good.
Yeah.
They're a good pair.
Yeah. It's fun because, like, Will's like, I'm impulsive. I want to work by myself. And Ronnie's like, me too. Let me come.
It's like they have a brother-sister, like, relationship, but they're both the younger sibling.
Yes. Yeah. It's like they're sharing the same two brain cells, but, like... Yeah. Someone else has him right now. is that your best?
I'm gonna best that.
Yeah. Okay. The worst is, and like it's look, it was nice that it wasn't Mac because the last several seasons have been the first episode after the premiere is Red Ranger is a dink for some reason. But like, I work alone. I'm a lone wolf. Let me do this by myself. That got boring quick.
It got old very fast.
So that's my worst, and
yeah,
I hope we're
same.
Over that, but yeah,
I think we are, because by the end of this thing he was telling other people to to do stuff instead of him.
Yeah,
so it's not exactly teamwork, but it is like, here Rose, you open the cocoon,
right? Sharing the load at least,
because I smashed it on a rock for 15 minutes and I got nowhere.
Yeah, I can't wait for like seven episodes
his
from now.
His thing is that he cracks safes, but he couldn't twist and pull on this stupid ancient poppet.
Nope. Turns out the Neptune cocoon is too tricky for even a master thief like Will last name.
I think he was just frustrated.
He tried it once and he couldn't get it. And he's like,
yeah,
you do it then.
Or he was just frustrated with like, I hate working with, which is a sentiment that I do relate to. I hate group projects.
Yeah. A lot of time I would rather just do something alone. Yeah.
But if you're Power Ranger.
Come on, man.
Like, yeah, come on.
Who's the MVP?
Mac?
I think it's Mac. Because, like, that little speech was good. That was a good time.
He saved him with his big dump truck.
Yeah, he got to use his big dumper. Got to throw his dumper at someone. It's pretty good. Love it whenever a dumper gets thrown around. Now we got to rank it. Is this better or worse than the premiere?
I think it's worse.
I also think it's worse. I also feel like I opened 100 things since last time. So coming in at number 2, The Underwater World. What's the next one called?
Heart of Blue.
I wonder what that's going to be about.
I don't know. I could read right now, but I won't.
Good.
I bet it's about Dax, though.
If I had to guess.
Could be about Dax, or it could be about Atlantis, you know?
maybe they got to go back to Atlantis and find other scroll.
What if they never mention Atlantis again? When Andrew was like, we'll keep that a secret.
He meant
that was the end of Atlantis for this season.
I would on the one hand, think that's very funny. On the other hand, be frustrated for the rest of my time on this earth. So which is it going to be? Tune in next time to find out.
I mean, Flurious must know where it is. He brought the temple to life.
Is it Atlantis?
He must be like, this temple had to come from somewhere.
Yeah, is that demonstrably separate from the rest of Atlantis? Because they went down there. They're like, this is Atlantis. They opened it up. And when they activated it, only the temple rose.
That's all we saw. We didn't see any other ancient structures. It was just a temple underwater. And they were like, this is the location of Atlantis.
Presumably off the coast of like Malta or wherever, there's just this bridge that goes to this new temple that's got a destroyed giant stone guy next to it. That no one's allowed to look at, I guess, because it's a secret to not tell anybody. I don't know.
I bet Flurious, after Heat Miser dies, I bet Flurious is just going to, like, rebase into Atlantis.
I'd be okay with that.
I hope Flurious kills Heat Miser, honestly.
Same.
Heat Miser doesn't need to be here, other than the fact that I'm sure he's in plenty of the footage.
Right.
Like, there's no reason.
It's really weird, because, like, I understand that, like, he's just a voice. His mouth doesn't even move to, like, the actor, like, the suit actor. There's, like, different rules, because, like, it's just a voice actor, not, like, someone playing it, like, with Flurious. But, like, why have them both around if you're just going to have one guy sit in their house half the time? If it's just for variety, I'm like, it's a little confusing, but... I like the idea of it. It just seems a trifle unnecessary.
It seems ill-executed.
Yeah. Anyway, I will say that I am still enjoying Operation Overdrive.
It's dumb
and
it's
fun.
Stupid, but it's not bad.
Yet. Yeah. This is 2BTV's Power Rangers. And I like that about it. All right. Well, that's going to do it for us for today. We will see you next time for something about blue.
Heart of Blue, I think is what it was.
Heart of Blue. But until then,
may the power protect you.
I'm going to just check email real quick.
Hey, you must have seen stuff about Dreamlight Valley.
I have seen of it. I have not seen it.
I think what it is for me, first of all, every avatar, I've only really seen female avatars. The female to male player ratio seems to be...
like 10 to 1?
About 10 to 1.
Yeah.
But they are... this is the horniest Disney game I've ever seen.
It's a Disney game, but everybody looked like Megan Thee Stallion. Which I'm not against, but...
and every avatar I've seen, and I think what it is because it's a lot of the pictures I've seen are like selfies, right? Of them with like a character or whatever. And yeah. I think what it is because on TikTok with the green screen filter, it just puts you like in the corner, or maybe you can do that. I've never made a video on TikTok,
yeah,
so
same.
I don't know.
I think there are options as to how you can make green screen work, but I have not done the legwork.
Every avatar is just a dummy thick TikToker. It looks exactly like someone from TikTok.
It's
like, oh, this avatar gave me nutrition advice that was basically just eat what you want. Actual other nutritionists are just trying to take your money.
Yeah, they want your money. And they want to sell you an eating disorder.
And this one, their bio has a chili pepper and it says link on Insta in it.
I don't want to get too spicy this early in the season. And
It's 11:36.
Yeah, fine. Well, yeah, okay. Look, it's 5 o'clock somewhere. I saw a TikTok the other day, I think it was by Ify Nwadaway, that said, it's amazing that we live in a time where there's a 50% chance that you can see any given person on the internet naked if you wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
There is, at minimum, 50% chance that you could give them a little bit of money and see them naked. And I think that's great.
A lot of times you can find them on I've never done this.
No, you've never gone to their Twitter.
But a lot of times you find them on Twitter, you get the samples.
Yeah, no one here's done that. We're good Christian boys here.